In Arkansas and across the nation, there was major political activity last week, and Washington, D.C. seemed to be ground zero. House Majority Leader Eric Cantor was surprisingly beaten in his primary against an underfunded Tea Party candidate. Plus, Hillary Clinton reemerged on the national stage, a prelude to 2016, as she rolled out a new memoir. Roby Brock from our content partner, Talk Business and Politics, recently caught up via satellite to talk politics with Jonathan Martin, national political correspondent with the New York Times and a former senior writer at Politico.
Let's begin with this shocking defeat of Eric Cantor. Multiple theories on why he lost. I kind of subscribe to the theory that he really kind of lost touch with his district and his constituents. What's your take?
I think there's a lot to that, Roby. I think that he spent a lot of time around the country, especially in Washington and New York, trying to raise money for and campaign for some of his colleagues or would-be colleagues, which was his role as the number two man in the House leadership. But the problem is that when you do that, you tend to take your eye off the ball. And for any member of Congress, that means your own home district or your own home state. And I think he was so caught up in doing that and trying to become speaker that he ran into some problems back home. He also antagonized a few folks back home in some really parochial local disputes that perhaps didn't seem to matter too much. But when you're talking about a small scale primary level turnout, it's not a lot of voters. Those kinds of personal things can really matter.
All right, and there was no shortage of analysis in the New York Times this week. I counted like at least 15, maybe 20 stories that you guys had covering all this. One of yours, which I really enjoyed, I'm going to pull a quote from something you wrote. Yet to conservatives, Mr. Cantor's defeat was only the latest and loudest evidence that Republican leaders are detached from the rank and file of a party that wants confrontation rather than compromise. Tell me how Cantor's defeat feeds into this equation now in terms of the congressional agenda, congressional dialogue, and maybe this fall's political races.
Well, I think if you look at the actual agenda this year, Roby, there doesn't seem to be much that's going to happen in Washington besides maybe passing some spending bills. Talking to people here, immigration reform seems to be DOA for the year. So I think policymaking will largely be stymied for this year. And look, we'll see what happens this fall in the congressional elections. Most folks think the Republicans will keep the House and that the Senate's really in play. I think there's a scenario where, especially if somebody like Tom Cotton in Arkansas knocks off an incumbent Democrat, Mark Pryor, where you could see the Republicans take back the Senate next year. And if that's the case, what does that mean for the final 2 years of President Obama's term if you had true divided government? A totally GOP-controlled Congress and a Democrat in the White House. Would that mean more gridlock for two more years, or would the voters demand some kind of conciliation and compromise? I think it remains to be seen, but the Cantor upset, I think, for the Republicans at least, is going to encourage their members of Congress to be much more gun-shy when it comes to compromise, when it comes to trying to get big things done. If Eric Cantor lost, who was seen in Washington as a pretty conservative figure, well, I think you're going to see folks in the GOP rank and file in Congress thinking twice before they cut deals.
A little bit of a, I guess, an egalitarian thought on my part here, but I mean, American compromise, is it dead in Washington, D.C.? We just haven't seen to be able to find any big deals. Hillary Clinton said this week, without compromise, you don't have a democracy.
Right. She said you have a theocracy even, or an autocracy. She was pretty tough. Is it dead? At the moment, yes, it is. The country's polarized. Washington is polarized. The two sides are fairly dug in. And Republicans especially have pretty clear political incentives vis-a-vis these primaries not to give in much to President Obama. So I think for this year, the answer is yes. Does the landscape look different in President Obama's last 2 years when he really wants to create more of a legacy for himself and when the Republicans are looking forward towards 2016 and taking back the White House? Keep in mind something very important here. The Republicans increasingly are a strong congressional party. They got a lock on the House majority, at least in the short term, and they might take back the Senate next year because of how the country is laid out in terms of political loyalties across the country. But the Republicans are weaker when it comes to national politics, when it comes to the White House. And Democrats right now, Roby, look to be a stronger White House party. And so I think you could see a scenario, at least for a while, where you've got divided government just because of how the country is split now politically and geographically, where you've got a lot of strength in Congress for Republicans, a lot of Republican seats, because there's a lot of conservative states. But overall, nationally, the country's pretty moderate, and on some issues, becoming even more moderate, which helps Democrats nationally keep the White House.
All right, I got about 60 seconds per question for my last two questions here. Hillary Clinton, how quickly does she get in after November elections?
Yeah, well, speaking of national elections, right? Look, Hillary Clinton is somebody who I think Democrats will look to, could be formidable in terms of keeping that national coalition that President Obama has created. In terms of her timing, look, I think by deciding to do this book in June of 2014, she is signaling that she's not going to wait too long. Roby, there was some speculation that she would push this thing back for as long as possible, deep into 2015 or even early 2016. The fact that she's now reemerging with this book and the fact that she'll be on the campaign trail this fall, we presume, with Bill Clinton, says to me that she is not going to stay out of public life for that much longer here, and that we'll know something by the early part of next year in terms of her intentions.
All right, I can't let you go without talking about the U.S. Senate race down here that's been the big focus in Washington, D.C., yeah. Pryor versus Cotton. Since we've last talked, been several polls come out that have shown Mark Pryor competitive in this race. There have been a couple of polls in the last couple of days showing Cotton with some leads. They have had a little bit of a partisan slant to him. But the fact that the race is competitive, what's the reaction in Washington, D.C. to the fact that Pryor's still alive?
Yeah. Oh, I think among the Republicans privately, there is concern about Cotton's campaign and Cotton as a candidate. And if you look at his ads and the fact that he has tried a few different times now to sort of personalize himself, humanize himself with various family members, I think it sort of speaks to the challenge he has in trying to relate to Arkansans. So you do hear the Republicans privately talking about that. Democrats are feeling good as of right now that Pryor is still very much in this thing. But Democrats privately concede that it's going to be awfully tough for Pryor to get the number of Romney voters, rather, that he needs in 2014. It's tough for a Democrat to win statewide in a federal race in Arkansas because you have to get so many folks that vote nationally for Republicans for the White House. So I think Democrats are aware of that challenge. But I think the fact that it's still competitive in June, unlike, for example, Roby, the race 4 years ago between Blanche Lincoln and John Bozeman, at least in the short term, is good news for Democrats.
That was Roby Brock from Talk Business and Politics, speaking with Jonathan Martin, national political correspondent with the New York Times. Support for Talk Business and Politics on Ozarks at Large is provided by AT&T, challenging drivers to take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More at itcanwait.com. And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com.
And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity: coal, oil, natural gas, hydropower, and renewables. More at AECC.com. And the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. More at ArkansasStateChamber.com.